every year since the 1990s, when there's an opportunity to dedicate flowers at church, I've always done this in memory of my father and in honor of my mother. With my mother's death in January, I found myself for the first time ever dedicating Easter flowers in memory of both of them. Having that fresh grief this year helped me, I think, to feel some of the fresh and deep grief Mary might have been feeling as she goes to the tomb early in the morning while it's still dark. Mary was at the cross when Jesus died. All four Gospels agree on that. She was one of the few to stay till the end. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus handled preparing the body. So she was coming not to do that, but probably just out of her sadness. It was a place to come and be with her grief. Her grief might explain why, seeing that the stone is rolled away from the entrance to the tomb, she makes the assumption that someone has taken Jesus' body. As much as Jesus spoke about what will happen to him after his death, she never stops to think there may be another explanation. With this whole new fresh grief over the loss of the body, after Peter and the beloved disciple leave, Mary stays. She's still crying. She looks into the tomb. "Woman, why are you weeping?" the angels ask her. She doesn't have any particular reaction to seeing two angels sitting there. She focuses again on the fact that the body is gone. Jesus asks her the same question, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And again, her only focus is on finding the body. It's only when Jesus speaks her name that she recognizes him. "Rabboni," Mary responds, "teacher." And Mary loses her focus on the body, Jesus incarnate. Instead, Jesus tells her to take the news of the ascension to the others. As we've seen over and over again in John, people become disciples when they have an individual encounter with Jesus and believe. And she becomes one when she goes and tells what she has seen. This all takes place in a garden that evokes the Garden of Eden and tells us that here is a new beginning, a new creation. A garden that extends our sense of what resurrection can mean besides eternal life and some heavenly reality. In what sense will this resurrection encounter with Jesus be a rebirth for Mary? Way back when Jesus raised Lazarus, the event that precipitated the ineluctable path to crucifixion and now resurrection and soon ascension, Lazarus only leaves the tomb after being called by name by Jesus. He comes out of the tomb to new and resurrected life. And Jesus calling Mary by name gives her the same new and resurrected life. Mary is the first person to whom Jesus appears, first to recognize who he is. Her life will be made new in the presence and power of the resurrected Jesus. "Don't hold on to me," Jesus tells her. The one and only period in human history where God enters our world as a human being has come to an end. Soon Mary will have to say goodbye for a second time. And in this gospel, it's the ascension, not the resurrection, that's the thing that gives us hope. Resurrection means release from the grave, but ascension assures the promise of an abiding relationship with God. Jesus tells her, "Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Incarnation comes full circle in ascension, and Jesus returns to the Father. Mary is sent to the community of believers to prepare them. There she and they will know the presence of Jesus. The abiding presence of Jesus and God will be found in the life of the church. Since shortly before I joined your community, I've been watching the events unfold in Ukraine, and as a church, we have given witness to the presence of Jesus in the world, locally, nationally, and internationally, in response to what's happening there. Here are a couple of examples of that witness in our life together. After the incarnation is physically gone, but Jesus continues to live through us. One minute we're in school, and the next we're running for our lives. It's part of the story of Emmanuel, a fourth-year medical student in Ukraine from Nigeria. He and his classmates crossed the border into Hungary and have found refuge at the Theological Institute of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Hungary. The Lutheran Archbishop of Nigeria heard about the students and reached out to the Lutheran Presiding Bishop of Hungary. "Can you find them? Can you help them?" he asked, and they did. "What do you need?" someone from Lutheran World Relief asked the new pastor at St. Martin's Church in Krakow, Poland. With the assistance they received, the congregation, in less than a week, was able to convert a church basement into space for refugees fleeing across the border from Ukraine. They know this is a long-term commitment. They have done this before in previous refugee crises. Pastor Ostruska says, "We should do this. Our Lord gives us something beautiful, and we should go to other people and give it to them." And that is the gospel message of Easter. Amen.